Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 257. This is Jorge.
Hola. Mi llamo es Worldwide Handsome, Mateo.
This is the rhythm of the night. The night. Oh, yeah.
This is Rhett.
Jesus Christ.
Dang, I wasn't prepared with a extra cool intro today. Fuck.
Hey, did you hear that? Yeah. He thinks our intros are extra cool.
Well, you can't be prepared if you're the guy who has to, you know, introduce the intro. So that, you know,
you just
got to
take us by surprise then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's up, guys?
Fucking same old shit, dude. Still lockdown, still work, still work out.
Still got this bitch on lockdown.
Still lockdown, still working, basically. Yeah.
Yep. Same old shit. Except now I'm getting a bunch of free food at work. Yay.
Nice.
Yeah, he was talking about that. I mean, all three of us are four. Are you still working too at this point, George?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. We're basically still technically servicing a needed medical establishment.
And so yeah, we're servicing the wife's needs. Am I right?
If only, brother.
Hot dog time.
Hot dogging it.
It's hot dog time. they'd have no context.
I told Ollie I'm gonna do that tonight. She went to bed at like 8 o'clock. I'm like, when I'm done with the show, hot dog time. And she's like, that's fine. So I'm gonna get hot dog time.
just open the door and you'll be like a silhouette with light behind you, and you'll be like, it's hot dog time. Hey. Hot dog time.
And all that goes through her fucking head is that shitty section in that Disturbed song. No, daddy, no!
You know, it's kind of weird because my mother-in-law's been staying with us for like 3 weeks or so. So, yeah, but it's...
Keep going.
It's kind of hot, like... Sneaking around? No, the sneaking around. You know, like
that is hot. You've been getting it on with, dude, the mother-in-law. Hell motherfucking yeah! Put your hands in the air like you just don't wait.
Yeah, no, it's tight. It's hella tight.
Oh my god.
Yep. Spending time in the gungeon, dude. It's fucking hella tight
in the gungeon, dude. I saw you put up the Chinese restaurant banner.
Yeah, dude. You know, I kind of love that banner. Like, I do too. I don't really want to use it in public where like anybody will see it, but I do love that banner.
Yeah, it was your brother, right?
Yeah, he just randomly did it. Like, he got his homeboy to do it as a favor, and like it was a really nice thought, but like he picked the most fucking god awful font. Like, it looks like a fucking Chinese buffet banner.
Or that, or like a Thai massage place.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome, though, because if you asked for a Chinese buffet banner, like, you probably wouldn't get what you wanted.
Yeah, you know what?
You're probably right. That's right. That's great.
This is the only way to get that is by accident. So
yeah,
you have
dude, chaos magic all the way.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
That's right.
So I finished Resident Evil 3.
Okay. What'd you think?
Okay, so I only played the original once, so I'm not super familiar with it. I don't remember it like the other games. From that perspective, it's fun. I do think it's a little short, and then with, you know, I read that they took some chunks out, so with the police station from part two being as such a big part as it is, I think it's a little cash grabby.
Okay.
But yeah, I did the whole campaign in like 6 hours, 7 hours.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Four to six hours is kind of where it's at.
You fucking yawning over there, dude?
I am, dude. I need to drink up a little bit.
He's
more.
Like, damn, that's hella interesting. Resident Evil, great.
So they've done remakes of all the Resident Evils now, besides what, like five?
They haven't redone five, and they're gonna.
Well, five at this point, I mean, is. I mean, it doesn't need to
close
be
enough. Yeah, it's not next gen, you know, enough, right?
So they haven't redone Code Veronica, and then there's a bunch of like little offshoot games. Like there was an on rails shooter called Resident Evil Survivor. They didn't redo that, but
that was for the Wii, good. Right?
No, I had that for. Wait, you know what? You might be right. That might be for the Wii.
You know what was a tight ass 90s on rail shooter in the
House
arcade?
Of the Dead?
Yeah, but before that, there was the fucking Terminator 2 that was in the lobby of every fucking movie theater.
Oh,
ever.
Yep. With and the guns.
Yeah, that shit was good. And Area 51 was good too. Actually.
Area 51 is the king. What was it? The fucking emperor.
Remember,
of on rails.
Did you know about? Yeah. Did you know about like the little cheat to play as the alien?
No. On Terminator?
No. On Area 51.
Oh hell no!
Yeah, fuck yeah, no. Dude.
What are you talking about?
Dude, so
you're from a fucking
dude. Check this out. I have
dude, I knew
this
it.
Is this is not bullshit. I have 100% done this. So.
He does it. He did it this morning.
So you point the gun off screen like you're going to reload. Like as soon as the game starts, you just keep shooting off screen like you're reloading. And the only time you shoot at the screen is to shoot all of the like Marines or whatever that you see. And when you kill the fourth Marine or something, instead of dying, it'll give you all your life back and you'll get to go play through like alien mode where you're looking at it through like a... like a predator thermal vision.
What,
dude? Look it up. Wow. Look it up, homie.
Matt, Area 51 is a two-quarter finish for me, and I have never heard of that fucking thing,
dude,
in my life.
Look it up. 100% true. I've done it on multiple occasions.
Wow.
I'm going to have
wow.
to look
it's not, it's,
that sounds
it's not even
exciting.
One of those myths where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, my cousin said he did it. I personally have done it several times.
They have a really, you know how, because you know how sometimes when you go to like a taco shop, they'll have that Air 51 with the shitty guns and the aim's all fucked up and the screen's mm-hmm. all jacked. At the Barcade in La Mesa, they have a fucking mint condition Area 51. I'm going to head over there and do that.
Do it. Hella do it.
Excellent.
It's tight. Did you guys ever play the Aerosmith shooter?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. I forgot, and it fucking pops up the fucking, like, the band logo, and it had, like, cow
yeah.
udders and shit and all
that.
That
was basically...
What's with them and what's CDs. With them and cow fucking udders? What's that about? What's
it's
that about?
A nipple fetish.
It's get a grip.
Yeah, there's a bunch right? of nipples.
Get a grip, motherfucker. Like, what do you mean, what's it about? Get a grip, bitch.
I think basically. They had that album cover censored, too. Like, somewhere they didn't oh, yeah, they didn't they did. Have, like, the ring in the cow's nipple udder huh. thing.
that seemed, of all the things.
Well, because, I mean, just a cow's udder in itself isn't offensive, but, like, when you put a ring through it, then it's, like, animal cruelty, and it's, like, fetishism.
When you
and,
put a ring yeah, on it.
They liked it so yeah. much, they put a ring through it.
That's right. Dude, I cannot believe you brought that. I had not thought about that fucking game since probably 1999.
Doug, I mean, not remember wow. the plot of a movie I watched 2 hours ago, but I remember that shit.
That's pretty good.
Did you play anything else, Matthew?
I've been playing Dead by Daylight.
Lots of Dead by Daylight.
Because they got that bunny Fung, dude. I've been waiting for that shit. Fung with her cute little bunny hoodie and her sense.
How long have you been waiting,
dude,
for that?
No shit, like 2 years. They
get out of here.
I swear.
Shut up.
So they teased it like 2 years ago and the community went nuts and the community started like designing it. And then they were basically
the community.
Yeah. And basically they were like, it's never going to happen. We can't figure out a way to make the cosmetic work. And then somebody was like, look, you just take this stuff you already have and just repurpose it. And then they're like, cool, we're going to do it for Easter. So. Boom. But yeah.
Wow.
And then wow. I've been looking everywhere for a Switch, but like can't fucking find those.
Yeah, people are
yeah,
panicking.
I've heard those are like sold out everywhere.
Yeah, people are price gouging too, fucking bastards.
Have you watched That's anything, right. Matthew?
I've watched quite a bit. I started watching the new season of Sabrina. It's same shit, dude. You know, I love it, but it's like one of those shows that you
it's pretty the same.
It's one of those shows where you can easily put it on and like not pay attention to it and then pop in and be like, oh, that looks crazy, what's happening? Or you can sit and watch the whole thing. But yeah, I like it. It's good. It's fucking stupid. Speaking of fucking stupid, I watched another Dread Central movie. I'm sure you've all seen the previews and advertisements for Butt Boy. Yeah, I mean, they got to be busy promoting that because sure as hell not promoting our episodes.
Yowza.
God.
Shots fired.
That movie is fucking terrible, dude. It's so bad.
Isn't that the one where he's like in Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah, but he's in AA for putting things up his butt.
Well, dude.
Like that's the whole purpose, or the whole, like, this guy gets a fucking prostate exam. He enjoys having a finger in his butt so much that he eventually starts putting like a bar of soap and the remote, and then he puts a neighbor's child up his ass. But like, the things don't just like come back out. He absorbs them. So of course the child's missing, and he has to go to AA because he murdered a kid by shoving it up his ass.
He has to just go to AA?
Well, he goes to AA, you know, by choice, and then he gets teamed up with a sponsee. Like he's a vet there now, so he gets teamed up with a sponsee who's trying not to drink.
Someone didn't like AA at all.
Well, so he gets teamed up with this guy who's trying not to drink, and then like he basically gets himself to shove things up his ass again. And then the guy turns out to be a cop who starts investigating him, and
so he has a shoving up stuff up his ass relapse. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It all starts with like a game of Sorry or something. He just starts eyeballing the Sorry piece and wants to shove it up his butt, and then he shoves it up his butt, and then his ass gets the power of like Kirby, where he can pull it open, and it just like creates this vacuum. Yeah, I got about an hour into it and I'm like, I can't finish this shit.
No, sir, I don't like
it. It's bad. Yeah. I watched an animated film called To Your Last Death. I watched it just because it was violent and bloody and boobies. And, you know, it's pretty much if you like Archer, but wish Archer was a lot more violent and had actual nudity, then it's kind of for you. I watched a movie called Powerbomb, which I was looking forward to also for 2 or 3 years, because it's about serial killer and crazed wrestling fan and wrestling, and it's fucking awful. It's really bad. Even as a wrestling fan, it's really bad because it just tries to.
God damn, you watched a lot of horror.
Yeah, dude.
Why don't we skip to something you like?
So,
I kind of like this.
I really, really liked Puka. Did you watch Puka?
I have not had a chance.
Did you watch the first one or the second?
I watched both of them.
Okay.
The first one.
Available on Hulu, right? Both of them?
First one is real good. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it too much because I think people should just watch it. Second one has a different director, and so it has a different feel, and it kind of goes like a little wonky, but it's still fun. Definitely not as good as the first one, but
well, it's a lot like Star Trek: The Next Generation in many ways, superior to the original, but will never be as recognized.
Is that from Mallrats?
That's from Wayne's World, and it doesn't apply to what you're saying. But I've always appreciated it.
Even better, it doesn't apply at all.
Oh, yeah, that makes it better.
Yeah.
So
George, okay. George had said he was going to watch Puka and Puka Lives, so I was like, you know what, I'll watch Puka and Puka Lives.
I instead went a different direction for shit that I watched.
And watched Bloodshot. Puka and Puka Lives. Bloodshot
for the
Contagion.
For the fifth time. No, I watched a couple things. I started watching Devs, which I cannot...
Alex Garland.
Just right off the bat, I cannot recommend it enough off just one episode. It's The first episode fucking pops off to a ridiculous extent. So I highly recommend that.
That's the guy who's responsible for Annihilation and Ex Machina, right?
Yeah. Yes, correct. Correct. I also watched an Amazon original series called Tales from the Loop. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched the first episode. It's way, 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 way heavy sci-fi. So it's more like, have you seen those paintings that are sort of like they're landscapes but have big giant robots in the background, and they kind of have this surreal feel to them? Either of you guys?
No,
I think so. Yeah.
So there's
art. You're not talking about Magritte or Escher, but
no. It's a recent artist. I forget his name, but he creates these paintings that are basically like it's a farm. And then they'll have like a 30-foot robot in the background that's like
industrial helping. Stuff mixed in with landscape, with natural
environment. And it's based, I gotcha. It's based on those paintings. So they'll have like real ethereal looking robots that are made out of like half of a car. It's pretty cool. It's a cool series. So far I'm into it. I started a podcast called The Phenomenon. And it's a little strange because
something like a phenomenon.
Because it's got, so you remember in Bird Box how the whole deal was that if you looked at the monster,
you go a little cuckoo.
So the phenomenon has a similar kind of
phenomenon,
kind of a similar thing. But I believe it's a novel that was written before Bird Box. So I don't know that it's like a stolen idea, but. So far, it's pretty cool. I'm like four episodes in, and what's the word?
It's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. Bebe. No, it's the acting is pretty cool. Like most of the actors on the show are pretty good. Some of them are there. There's a couple doctors in there. I'm like, brother, yeah, you needed to find somebody else. But it's pretty good. I do recommend The Phenomenon. I believe it's a Spotify exclusive.
question. Yes. Did you ever see Phenomenon with John Travolta?
Hell yeah, I did.
Oh, hell. What did you think of Phenomenon? Bebe.
I thought it was great, but not good.
I didn't like it.
It's not good, man. It's
no, that's not a good movie. I think Powder is a better film than Phenomenon.
Oh, wifey and I finished Lock and Key.
What'd you think?
Oh, yeah.
So, I liked it as a series. I really did. I do not like the way it ended. It was pretty predictable. Yep. I know this is a show for basically children, and I get that. But, I mean, you could see the ending from, like, three episodes away, and I was like, okay, all right, cool, all right, got it, understood.
Well, I mean, the Bible's for kids, too, and you never saw that end coming where the guy gets nailed to the cross and shit. I mean, I just never saw that coming.
You just never fucking saw it coming, man.
You start with the book of Genesis, you end with that, and then, like, the fucking six-headed beast in the book of Revelation. I just, shit, you know?
Shit!
It really took a left turn there.
It turns into a zombie with superpowers, moving giant boulders around.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how was your guys' Easter?
Nothing.
We actually did Easter last week, so no big deal.
What'd you do? Because you have kids, so how is that? How'd that go?
It was fine. We just filled up some fucking plastic eggs with bullshit, and they loved it.
Actual bullshit?
Fuck yeah.
This fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but that's it. Yeah, I think that's everything I've watched. Riggedy Rhett, what about you, homie?
I'm streaming more than I usually would, but I didn't watch many movies this week, believe it or not. I watched I finished Wild Wild Country with
Hi Sophia.
And I mentioned it last previous episode that fucking show, if there's a docuseries, because I think docuseries are great while you're watching them, and then you're kind of like, okay, I'm never going to see that again. You know what I mean? It's kind of like there's a lot of information to take in. And then it's kind of rewatching that one though is like fucking, that shit is amazing. It's just, I cannot believe that shit happened. But anyway, so I finished that and then we continued Mindhunter, which on second watch, like I think I like it more now than I did the first time and I liked it a lot.
Where are you guys at?
We're actually just starting the second season now.
Oh,
so
dude.
And I know second season, I remember us talking about it on the show, like about it almost 2 years ago now, I think, a year and a half or so. But I really like the character work in this show. I really like how cerebral it is. I like how subtle it is. I like how, I mean, so, yeah. And BTK, when I mentioned how she's into serial killers last week, you're like, just like every basic bitch ever. No, but like BTK. No, but I mean, I met Sophia, like, freaking, she's a woman I met in the Rotary, you know? So for her, but particularly BTK, like it showed like, you know how they were doing those snippets before the episodes where it just shows him and piece by piece you figure out it's BTK?
Yeah.
Okay. They showed, it said Wichita, Kansas, and it showed a dude with glasses and she's all, oh, BTK. I was like, what the fuck? Why do you know that's BTK? And she's all, because it's Kansas. So yeah, apparently BTK is her boy. So that's good to know. But then I figured we needed to switch things up a bit. And
so you
then,
watched Prayer of the Roller Boys?
No, fuck, man. You got to get me in public about
it. I do, man. I'm gonna okay. Guilt you until you watch it. I know that's a super effective thing to do.
I used up a lot of my juice getting her to watch The Room. And then
after watching The Room.
Her first viewing of The Room was not good. She's like, why are we watching this? But then it stuck with her and rented space in her head. I'm like, you kind of want to watch it again. She's like, yeah, I kind of do. And that's what started this. But I don't think that's going to happen with Prayer of the Roller Boys. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Not with that attitude, Red.
But that's right. But I did watch, she'd never seen, I'd watched a Muppet film with her previously, so I watched the Muppet movie. Yeah.
He's laughing at me about the Muppet movie. I'm not going to watch Prayer of the Roller Boys, but I got time to watch a Muppet movie.
Hell, motherfucking
well,
yeah.
Matthew.
When was the last time you listened? Have you listened to The Rainbow Connection?
Matthew. What is The Rainbow Connection?
That shit will make you cry.
That's big talk coming from you, motherfucker.
What?
You ain't watched shit.
What? I just watched 5 movies.
Yeah, Garbage but what? But you're getting mad at this guy for not watching Prayer of the Roller Boys. Yet it's a struggle to get you to watch fucking Die Hard.
Hey.
I don't, you know, and yeah, bro, I don't like it. I didn't grow up with action
point
movies.
Taken.
La, 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 la. Why don't you go? Oh, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Why don't you blow
George?
Me
he just
where
said. He just said.
Is.
He just said what now?
He just said like Point Taken and took all the juice.
Oh, I didn't even. I didn't even hear that. Yeah, Discord.
Can you believe that shit?
Discord must have glitched out on right. That.
George's like, you know what? I'm just riding this wave. I'm just gonna stick with it.
But I did watch one other fucking thing, which I want to mention it more when we're talking about the movie we're covering tonight. But it's called Earthlings. It's a documentary. Have you ever heard of it?
Nay.
It's about animal treatment, and I found out about it because I was watching tonight's featured film. And then I started Googling shit on the internet, and one thing led to another, and then I started watching Earthlings. And it's a fucked up watch, and it's a documentary. But, well, you can kind of just mention it now. I mean, it's from 2004, 2005, Joaquin Phoenix narrates it. And it's called Earthlings because it's going from the approach that, like, you can go whatever species you want and whatever, you know, whatever gender and et cetera, but any creature that lives on the earth is an Earthling. And so it uses the way animals are treated. I mean, the footage they show these fucking animals being treated the way they are, like, I am about ready to go fuck. I felt really bad. Like, I felt really fucking bad. I got about 30 or 40 minutes into it. I haven't finished it because it's like the ultimate fucking horror movie because it's real footage. And so, yeah, I don't know. I wanted to talk to you guys about
that. That's how PETA gets you, dude.
Actually, this movie, though, is like, it does it intellectually, though, and it does it. It's true. It's like, you know, the way people talk about it is exactly the way the Nazis talked about the Jews, or it's the way that, like, any serial killer talks about their victim, because these things they're not living creatures to them. They're just like, it's just a thing that you can treat however you want. And it's like, yeah. Once you see the footage, it's like, okay, we're fucking monsters.
The Nazis had pieces of flair.
That's right. Hey, that's from fucking Office Space.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I don't mean to sound all, but yeah, it really made me think and feel badly about this
feel
situation.
Things.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't talk about it. We were gonna do an episode on it, and then I don't know. Matt ended up not wanting to do it. I guess.
What?
We watched The Platform.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
We could talk. Yes, we might as well talk about it, right? Because we're not going to do an episode on it.
Yeah.
Sure.
What did
sure.
you think? What did you guys think of the platform?
I liked it quite a bit.
So did I. I liked it. And then we had the three of us had you asked me via text what I thought of the ending.
Yeah.
Matt thought the ending was a piece of shit.
Hella lame.
I think, as I mentioned in the text, which no one heard, so I need to mention it. no one, I mean people listening. The movie, I think that's the only way to end that kind of film, with a kind of ambiguous ending like that. I don't think there's no satisfying ending to that. And I think that's part of the point. And it goes with, it's kind of like the morality in the movie. Any character that's really virtuous is like a hallucinatory. You know what I mean? Otherwise, the people, who they are and what they do is determined by what level they find themselves on for survival. So it's painting kind of like a morally ambiguous universe. And it's kind of, in a sense, it's actually being very empathetic to people that you usually call assholes, because it's saying, well, they're just on that level, you know, and you can't say you wouldn't do the same on that one and
right.
and the lower one and all that. And so I don't think it's not a movie where you can end it with like they make it out into the fucking the real world or outside of the fucking platform and everything's fine, because there is nothing outside of it. Not as long as you're living with people, you know.
So we are the platform, dude.
That's right. It's snow piercing. It's like vertical snow piercing. It's like,
you're totally right. It is. Well, you know what? One of the things that I was thinking about is it. You know, I know it's sort of presented as a prison, right? But everybody that was in there is voluntary. Am I correct?
I don't think so. I think only some of them were voluntary, because I think that the first guy that he wakes up with, that old Danny DeVito looking guy, I think he was there as a punishment.
That I'm not sure about. And honestly, it kind of felt to me that's all there was, like, was the platform, you know? Like, I mean, is it voluntary or a punishment? I don't know.
What
was that?
What was that?
That was tight.
That was my watch hitting the spring of the microphone arm.
Dude, that sounded all crazy. That was like Rhett was about to say something very, very important right there.
I was like, dun, I probably, dun, my watch. I probably couldn't dun, do that dun, if I tried. Dun, dun,
my watch.
But
stupid.
It made me and this situation too, I'll tell you what, it's a timely movie. It's a great movie for this quarantine thing where people are at different levels of economic status, and there's a lot of that shit going around with Parasite. Even Joker had a lot of those issues in it and stuff like that, as far as, you know, different income brackets and all that kind of stuff. But I asked you guys if you'd seen Dark City. I know George has, but if you guys had ever done Dark City on the show, because Dark City is a movie I'm thinking a lot about during this quarantine thing, and just like how the movement is and how everything is controlled and like, you know, because I'm thinking about in a more abstract way. I know that they're doing it for these reasons ostensibly and this, but just like, the way that movement is arranged right now, it feels very like, wow, what the fuck else is going on? But yeah, Dark City, that's a movie where it ends with him like learning to control the machines, you know?
Right.
And then he breaks free of the machines, and then he creates his world as he wants to see it. And it's like a beach. Even though he's in the middle of space, he's going to see the world how he wants to see it. So it's an existential film because of that. But it, like, the platform doesn't have that. The platform is like, no, there's these levels and that's all there is.
There's no idealism at the end of it.
Fuck no.
It's Rhett, bleak. I meant Matt. Matt.
Yeah.
What would have, I mean, I know you're not a fucking, you're not a writer for screenplays, but.
Yeah, he is, dude.
What in your opinion would have made the ending better for you?
I don't know. I kind of feel like they just wrote themselves into a corner. You know, I was really rooting for that panna cotta, and then it's like, oh, send the child up. And I was like, I don't think they're going to get that point. They're just going to be like, oh, look, there's a fucking kid. I mean, I think it's idealistic to think that just sending the kid up, you know, would kind of send the message they wanted. The panna cotta seemed more effective to me because it's a fucking panna cotta and people are starving. Mm-hmm. So they're directly like ignoring that food to preserve it, to send it back up. But the girl, it's like, well, you don't know how she's on here or why she got here or anything. I think it's missing the point.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me expand on that further. Then.
What could have made it better?
No. Like, what's the point for you then? I kind of just like that it was
bleak, you know. I kind of just like that there was no fucking hope, and I really wanted the Panna Cotta to kind of be fruitless in the end, you know. And they're just down there on floor 300 or whatever, fucking dead. Or if they ride back up dead, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you got to think too. If they ride that fucker up, they're gonna splat at the top because that's just going up pretty fucking quick. But anyway, No, I mean, I guess I see what you mean. You wanted it to kind of continue the bleak,
feel. It went too optimistic, and then like if you're following the thread that the movie's giving you, then the girl's gonna ride up there. Which now that you mention it, like the idea of that girl getting splattered on the fucking roof of the kitchen,
I figured when they hit the top, it was just like catapulting whatever it is onto the ceiling.
I mean. Yeah, logically that makes sense, you know. Even if it slows down, like some shit's gonna fall off and you're gonna wind up with like plates and bones on different levels. But yeah, thinking about her getting splattered in the kitchen is pretty fucking funny. That, you know, that would have been great. They would have been like, oh damn it,
that would have been a funny ass ending.
And then they just start like cleaning it up because they gotta cook dinner.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the girl being sent up is the message itself, though, right? Like that's.
I think what Matt's getting at is that's a little too fucking cute.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because like, if you're following the thread that the movie's giving you, basically the girl is gonna go up there. She's not gonna get splattered on the ceiling. The people are gonna look at her, understand that she's meant to convey this message of like we're sending up this perfect thing as like, you know, a symbol. And then they're going to like really think about and reevaluate the way they've been doing things. Like, I don't believe that that's going to happen.
I think it's like about people doing that, even if it's futile, doing the so-called the right thing or the humane thing, even if it's a fucking shot in the dark, because that's kind of like, well, I mean, you know,
if that's the case, I would rather put my dead body on there and like, you know,
I'd rather put my D. Yeah,
well, that wait, too. Take no, your clothes off, you need, lay on you, the platform need, and fucking ride it up.
Red would need two platforms.
One for ride the it D. Up.
I'd ride my own D up to the top.
He would just end up on the first floor and he would just throw that thing down for everyone else to climb back
well,
up.
Well, he could just start at the bottom. He could get a heart on and catapult fucking himself pole vault to the very top.
You know, I'll say you guys have really been kind about this. Everyone thinks that there's a huge situation there.
Oh, shit.
It's like a prehensile tail, but it's just like 20 feet long. It just pulls him up
it's
to
just
the next floor.
It's just two Rhett's, dude. It's like he has a conversation with himself.
That is what it's like, but not because of the sheer scale of it. It's just the intensity of it.
Jesus Christ.
Its ability to distort and control and really take all the blood from the fucking top half of my body. All right,
well, should
body.
We get to any news before we move on to the fucking movie of the day?
I got some fucking good news. Oh, go for it.
You got good news?
Yeah, like good bad news.
Oh, I thought you
the best
like,
kind.
Dude, the virus is over.
No, fuck that. No, I mean like great fucking horrific news.
All right,
like,
give it. You know hit us with it, homie.
Like, okay, because they're starting to notice all these, you know, these tricky things that are happening during this. Like, you remember a month or so ago, they were saying that dolphins were swimming in fucking Venice again?
Which is super fake.
Well, I didn't know that, but in any case, there's fucking apparently animals are roaming into these urban areas because they're not populated by people, right? The people aren't around as much. But one of these things I was reading, and I quote, starving, angry, and cannibalistic. America's rats are getting desperate amid coronavirus pandemic.
That's awesome.
It is fucking awesome. Check this shit out. So a restaurant all of a sudden closes, which has happened by the thousands and not just New York City, but coast to coast around the world.
Yeah.
So those rats that were living by the restaurant, someplace nearby, perhaps for decades. So you had generations eating off these restaurants. Having generations of rats that depended on restaurant food, life is no longer working for them, and they have a couple of choices. Here's, and the choices are grim, right? They include cannibalism, rap battles, and infanticide.
Rap battles?
Rap. Yeah, fucking Eminem and fucking comes
yeah,
out.
I heard rap battles. The fucking Rat King is out here spitting bars.
It's like, it's basically like Secret of Nim with fucking freestyle rap battles
Fuck
in it.
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea. That's pretty good. But it says, it's just like we've seen in the history of mankind where people try to take over lands. They come in with militaries and armies and fight to the death, literally, for who's going to conquer that land. And that's what happens with rats. So a new army of rats comes in. Whichever army has the strongest rats is going to conquer the area. So
it's essentially like Sunless Sea, where Captain Rhett went to that island with the fight between the rats and the guinea pig people.
But what's really going to bake their noodles is they're going to take over nothing.
That's fucking, yeah. Well, they're going to start eating other rats, and that's why I say infanticide. So they're having babies to eat them. It's fucking unbelievable. So also, too, if and when this whole thing is, like, resolved or momentarily resolved, that means the rats that are going to be left in these fucking areas are,
super rats.
They're super fucking hardcore alpha fucking cannibal rats, and they're going to be fucking pissed. They're going to be like, oh, fuck you. Like, you know.
So we're going to have a plague after we have a pandemic.
Well, you know, that's pretty good. I don't know. But I thought, for one,
welcome our cannibalistic rat overlords.
Yeah.
I'm in. Yeah. Well, yeah. I just like it, you know, anytime it has these cannibalism, rat battles, and infanticide, like, fuck. They are living the hardest fucking life right now.
Rhett's like, cannibalism in.
Yeah, infanticide. Like, that word, infanticide is a fucking tough word, dude. That's like, when you put it that way, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they eat their young, but like, no, infanticide. Like, fuck. Mass genocide.
That sounds way more metal.
It fucking does. These rats are metal as fuck. That's what's going on. But what other news?
AMC filing for bankruptcy.
Okay, yeah. That's a huge thing. Like, okay, to me, I know you guys aren't as big theater goers as I am, or you know, or
I'm sorry.
Some.
I'm sorry. What?
You don't fucking go to. You don't like theaters.
I love the theater. I just don't have fucking time to go to the theater, you dingus.
Well, now you'll never have fucking time. Okay,
he has all the time in the world now.
All you got? Well, I'll have time for rat battles and fucking infanticide, but we'll have fucking.
I had all the time in the world.
Yeah, but that shit was headed that way slowly but surely for a long time, you know, and that's the thing before this. And what I mean by that is prior, the only thing really keeping them alive was that they started the A-list, the monthly, what do you call it?
Subscription, the thing where membership.
Yeah. Yeah. The monthly subscription, the recurring payment thing. And that wasn't even their idea. It was an upstart, if you guys remember, who started it. Then they had to buy them out and copy the idea.
They bought out who?
Well, there was that thing called
They didn't buy MoviePass out.
Yeah, they were competing with MoviePass. Okay. They put MoviePass out of business.
To be fair,
MoviePass put themselves out of fucking business.
Fuck MoviePass.
Well, again, an upstart new model like fucking. It had to give them the idea, which is never a good sign in any industry, right? But, and people have streaming, all the streaming platforms, and you have like films that initially, like the Academy fucking resisted nominating movies that didn't get theatrical distribution. This year they said, fuck it. Let's nominate all these fucking movies that, you know, a lot of them never even were in a theater, et cetera. Anyway, it was headed that way anyway. So, the idea, and this isn't the only business like that. You're going to see a shitload of businesses that shut down and not all of them are going to reopen. Like, and fucking Amazon was putting fucking all sorts of retail stores out of business. So it's only going to further that.
Yeah.
It's going to, and having these huge fucking megaplexes for films when there's like, I don't think it's going to be the end of theaters, but they're going to be a niche thing. Like, you'll get one or two in a big metropolitan
area.
Well,
the theaters will really have to rethink the theater experience, because I mean, over the last decade the theater experience has really flagged, and I think there's a certain amount of theaters that have figured it out, you know, the in terms of like, you know, dining in your seat and all, you know, and now that they've got assigned seating and everything, I think they'll just have to readjust to the new normal.
Well, and see, I think so. I think you're right. The other huge thing here is what it's going to do to the films themselves. I mean, they're like all those Marvel films, any film with a budget that's $150 or $200 million or more is only propped up with that budget because it can get theatrical distribution and get global theatrical distribution. Because that's the only way those things can justify having budgets that large.
Right.
So that was, and those films were really, and a lot of people lamented it, like Scorsese and everything, that all these flagship movies, these big fucking huge monstrous franchises were the only thing that Hollywood was making. And it's like, well, that's what people are going to fucking pay hundreds of millions of dollars for to go see in a theater. It was keeping that thing alive. Because if you had anything over Netflix or streaming platforms, is that your movie cost $200 fucking million dollars. And Netflix generally, thus far, is not going to shell that much out for one fucking film.
Although they have for a series.
Didn't they do that for The Irishman?
That type of
The
money.
Irishman was expensive.
Yeah.
It's headed that way. You're right. It's headed that way.
And it's, you know, it's just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. So you're right. And it was headed. That's again why I think this is, all of this stuff was coming. It was inevitable, but you're going to see, I think you'll still see theaters, but it will be for people who really want a theatrical experience, which is less and less apparently. But the other thing is, I forget the name of that fucking rule, but once upon a time, all the distributors had their own theaters. So Paramount had its theaters with its films. Universal had its theaters with its films, et cetera, et cetera. They did away with that because there was some monopoly law.
Right.
There was talk in Hollywood, they wanted to do away with it again and bring that back because they said it was no longer relevant because of some technicality. And there's a lot of conjecture that when and if the theaters do resurface, that's what you'll see. So you'll see Disney theaters with Disney properties and you'll see Universal theaters with Universal properties. And as a moviegoer, I'm not actually averse to this.
Well, that would be a kind of a cool idea because you could have like not that they're bringing out anything good recently, but like a Blumhouse run movie theater. That would be kind of, you know, that would be kind of an interesting thing to see.
Well, yeah, and Blumhouse's parent company there usually, I mean, I think is Universal. So yeah, I agree with you. And what it also opens the door for, I was seeing an article, was that these studios have backlogs of classics. So they wouldn't, if Universal doesn't have a bunch of big openings at the time, or if they have one or two, they could also show Jurassic Park. They could show Jaws. They could show classics in the theater. So they could run them like regularly alongside new releases, which justifies the space.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see.
That's a fucking great idea. And see, and that's the kind of thing, if you had one or two theaters in a metropolitan area or a few, that movie buffs like myself would be all for it. And you don't have to build fucking 30 theaters.
See, but then we would have limited selection and it would basically be curated lists. It's not, you know, now, yeah, we have limited selection, but we still have like movies coming out all the time. It's not what some one company is choosing to show people.
No, but it is, again, it's getting more
dystopian.
It's French. Well, not just dystopia. Yeah, definitely that. But but franchises, like, there is a little more brand loyalty than I think there ever has been. You know, like it started again when you had comic book movies really taking over. You have this Marvel DC thing that was carried from comic books over to the fucking film thing. And that's Warner Brothers versus Disney. And that's, you know, it's teams, you know, Disney has like their franchises and they're calling franchises just like sports teams because they're franchises. You know, it's not about the individual films. Yeah. It's about the entire IP.
I mean, I guess that couldn't bode well for independent horror films because, I mean.
No.
Yeah.
It won't.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what's very troubling here because independent cinema, I mean, it would be even more rare. So, gosh. I mean, yeah, and again, we're just talking about AMC so far. And I think initially, you know, stuff like The Landmark and stuff like that, I you'll still get indie theaters, but the place to go for indie filmmakers now is streaming a lot of the time.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Well, and it's going to stay that way if, you know.
Fuck yeah, it's not. It wasn't going. It was headed that way anyway, and now it's definitely fucking headed that way.
You know, and I, you know, and it's no surprise that the movie theaters have been losing money for years and years and years. But it is interesting to me that if they lose a month of viewership, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, that it's high time to file for bankruptcy. It's kind of funny how that goes.
I agree, and it's because they have these. Well, it's just like a lot of this stuff. A lot of people found out. A lot of companies said, "Hey, we could be doing all this remotely." You know, we could have been doing this remotely the whole time. So instead of these big sprawling fucking buildings, that shit's gonna be outmoded. Not just theater, but theaters are these big fucking huge sprawling buildings, and you can't sustain. It's not sustainable, like you said. They just never counted on, why would we ever have to shut this down for a month? Like, you know, because they never had.
Well, they should just pull themselves up by their bootstraps and maybe stop buying lattes, and they would figure that out.
No more fucking avocado toast.
Yeah, dude, just stop buying avocado toast, AMC.
You should have planned for this better.
Got against avocado, bro. It has a lot of healthy fats,
dude,
bro.
Just stop buying your energy drinks, dude, and you could afford to not close your theaters.
Yeah, for the price of one coffee a day.
Wow.
Hashtag millennials, am I right?
Yeah.
That's right. And
enjoy,
you know what?
The workforce. Oops, what workforce?
Gazang.
All these movies coming out, and horror movies, I'll go specific, you know, to be on brand, like fucking Quiet Place 2, rescheduled, of course. Antlers, rescheduled, of course. And all the entire summer slate, though, like Wonder Woman, James Bond, all that shit got pushed back. And I just want to say, Tenet, which is the new Christopher Nolan movie, has not been pushed back yet. But
when is that scheduled to be released?
It's supposed to be July, and the fact that they haven't done that yet, and here's the thing, if there's a purist for film, like in a theater, Nolan did not make this fucking movie to be watched for the first time on a fucking TV screen.
Yeah.
So I will love the day that I get to see this in a theater whenever it is, because it's going to almost inevitably be pushed back.
You'll rue the day.
Yeah. And same thing, did you guys see the first pictures for Dune, by the way?
Yeah, they look dope as fuck.
Looks fucking good, dude. And that's Denis Villeneuve, which, you know, for those who don't know, he did Blade Runner 2049, Sicario, Arrival, Prisoners. What
George,
else?
Have you you read the Dune books?
And you're reading them, Matt, right? Yeah.
I have.
Is the second many, like, how does the second
many
one compare?
Moon, many moons ago.
Like, should I read the second one?
Well, I mean, it's more of the same, dude. If you enjoyed
space
the first
politics, I mean, yeah, like it I cut mean, the first one cut out like right when it started getting good. I'm like, cool, we're fucking getting somewhere, and they're like, no, we're done. I'm like, shit, because there was like another 12% of the book, and it was all just like glossary of fucking space terms, which like I could have used at the front of the book, but.
All right, well, that's cool. Yeah. Any other news we should get to, guys?
I think we
what we do in the shadows season 2 premieres tomorrow. Well, I mean, this will be out. It'll have premiered by the time this is out. So
it's on Hulu, right?
They do. It's on FX, but it shows up on Hulu the next day, I think.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Well, we'll be right back to talk about a film that we watched.
National Lampoon's Animal House.
If only, am I right? We'll be right back. Hey, guess what?
What? We're back?
Actually, we should stop. Hold on. Let's stop recording for a sec.
Why won't you guys answer my question about penis tips?
Shit.
Yeah, talking about George loving the D. Wait, so are we going to have to like come back? Is he going to edit this? What is happening here?
I don't know. Hey.
Hey.
Oh,
hey, guess
boy.
What? Hey, George, guess what?
What?
We're back!
Are we back?
Yeah, Pluto, we're back. No, suck me off.
What? Wow.
Oh, I totally watched a Goofy movie, too.
That's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, I saw you watch that. I haven't watched that.
For instance, I can't remember, but they're not going to laugh anymore. No more Maxie the Geek No more goof of the week like before. Come on, Matt.
You know the magic of editing that goes on YouTube videos, like sometimes.
Yeah, you're not loving it, Matt.
So there's an edited version of a Goofy movie on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
They splice it together with different music and certain scenes, and it's like David Lynch's A Goofy Movie. If you haven't seen it, or if anyone hasn't seen it, yeah, look up David Lynch's A Goofy Movie on YouTube.
Well, that's pretty tight.
It is fucking pretty tight. It was tight like 10 years ago, and it's still
tight. It has only increased in tightness?
Yes. I love that shit when it shows the editing. Editing is fucking everything, you know? It's just like...
You know what else is continuously increasing in tightness? Fucking patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. True,
homie.
Holy shit. Like,
what's up with that tightness?
I am amazed that Patreon is continuing to grow.
It's almost too tight. Like, you nut too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. You better have taken care of some shit before you go
You can't just go full Patreon. You have to
You have to rub it out a couple times before you go.
Before you go to the Discord.
Oh, God. The dirty, dirty Discord. That Discord is something else, man. And I wake up to some weird shit.
Yeah, the night shift on Discord is fucking something else, man.
Bananas. But like I said, we got three new homies. We got Retta Evans, who sent us those lovely Valentine's cards a couple months ago. And she also sent us this cool Terrifier print from her homie Seawolf Meyer Tattoo on Instagram. Retta's hella tight. You know who else is hella tight? Bruce Griffith and William Reeder. I don't know why people are continuing to support us during these times, but we hella appreciate it. And we have made all of our extra content available to every level of Patreon.
We've got a couple things going out to Patreon soon, right, Matthew?
We do. We have something special in the works. I'm waiting for it to be mailed to us, and then it's going to be number one priority to mail.
Come on, Jen.
Lil Turk, not a word.
What is it, bro?
Like, not a word.
Yeah, it's a surprise. Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
I don't even know what it is, so that's good.
Yeah, because you probably spill the beans.
That's right.
Spill my beans?
Why'd you spill your beans? Have you guys watched that on video?
I watched it with Ronnie, dude. She actually really, really, really liked it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since it's been on video, and you know what? I should do that. I should give that a watch. She liked it. Ronnie liked it, though, huh?
She did.
That's cool.
She's smarter than me in almost every aspect, so of course she would like it.
What makes you say that?
That's because she is.
Oh.
Anywho, the Who Goes There podcast watched a movie, 2003's August Underground's Mortem, a sequel of sorts to August Underground. Is that right, Matt?
Actually, no.
Okay, cool. Directed by Jeremy Cruz and Killjoy, written by Killjoy and Christy Wiles. Starring Christy Wiles, Fred Vogel, Michael Todd Schneider, Jeremy Cruz, Killjoy, M. Kadath, Erica Schultz, E.J., some makeup done by Midian Crosby, and some other fucking... By the way, Midian Crosby is a pretty well-known makeup artist now, who has surpassed her August Underground fame.
So my understanding is it's a sequel to the first, in the same way that National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is a sequel to National Lampoon's Animal House. As in, it's not. But so August Underground is like the name of this troupe. Is that what it is, Matt?
I actually got to talk to Fred Vogel this morning. And I had asked him about it, and he said originally he didn't plan on making the sequel. And what is now August Underground Mortem started out as a music video for the band Necrophagia, and it just kind of evolved into this movie.
Yeah.
So it wasn't ever actually intended to make a sequel. It just kind of lined up.
What the fuck does August Underground mean? That's what I mean. Because you guys, I hear it thrown at like movies that are artsy sometimes. They say they're pretentious. And I don't think sometimes people use that word wrongly, which is ironic because they're using the word pretentiously. But in this case, August Underground is that pretentious? Like, what are they saying? What is
I that? Think what is it's just because they started filming in August. I mean,
that you know what? Then I'll go ahead and say this right off the bat. That shit is a mistake. Okay, like you know what? It's, August Underground, fucking.
It's all what? August 16th, 3:15 Underground.
I don't. Whatever. Okay,
dude. Yo, so Rhett, I mean, this shit is. Look.
Wait. Rhett, did you watch both of them or just the second one?
I only watched Mortem.
Okay, so you have no frame of reference.
I guess not for the plot, this extreme, the plot of the first one. This is, you know, no, I don't have a, okay. I didn't see the first one. So if the first one's like fucking, if this is like watching Back to the Future Part 2 without seeing Part 1, then I apologize, but I get the idea that this one is not, you need not have seen the first one to understand what's happening in this one.
That is pretty much the case. I mean, they're not connected, right, Matt?
That's no. Fair. No. I mean, like
Fred, if I watched Fred Back to Vogel's the Future 2, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on if I hadn't watched the first one? You know? Like, it would be fucking crazy. Or Part 3. Imagine watching Part 3 without watching Part 1 or 2. Like, Jesus Christ. But anyway, I digress. So.
So what did you think of this, George?
Well, I mean,
what do you remember what you thought of the first one?
So I hated it.
I hated it.
I think it's probably one of the worst things, both of them, one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life. But I gotta be honest with you, man. I can see a place for it, and I can understand why people of that are fans of this genre, why they like it.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
But you liked the first one, right?
So that's the thing. I really liked the first one. I was bored out of my mind.
So what's the difference?
Movie. So I actually thought that it felt like a completely different movie. Like, remember when, remember when we were talking about the first one, I kept saying like, this feels like I'm watching something I'm not supposed to be watching. This feels like I actually found footage of these people doing these crazy things. And part of it was like the shitty camera and all this other stuff. But a lot of it was interspliced with like their daily life kind of things. And I felt that was missing from this movie. And when I was talking to Fred Vogel, the guy who wrote and directed the first one and was in this one, he said that there was a lot of more hands that were involved in this movie. And he even felt that it took away from the realism of it. I just felt that it was too try hard and there was nothing like substantial in it.
You thought it was too try hard?
Yes.
You didn't
feel that it had any depth or like Shakespearean, you know, like style dialogue, right?
Well, yeah. No. I, like what I'm saying is like
the, no, I'm playing obviously.
No, yeah. I know. The first one to me felt like raw. It felt real. It felt nihilistic. And in this one, I felt like the directors and the characters and everybody felt like they cared about pushing the envelope and making it as uncomfortable as they could. And it lost authenticity in that, even though it was more authentic.
Hmm.
I get, no, what you're saying, you use the thing on Discord, George, that if it's a band, they have an album and the first time they come out with this fucking filthy grindcore fucking pig squeal blast beat thing, and then the second time they come out with it and they're like, let's do the thing we did the first time, but like they're all self-conscious about it now. So now they know what they got, and they're just kind of like, it's forced, is what you're saying. This felt forced.
Okay, George, there's an artist we really like that did some albums that were really great, and then they did a bigger release and it had a lot more people working on it and a lot more instrumentation, and it kind of had like the main bass, but it took away what was really great about it. That's kind of the thing.
Well, okay, if I'm being honest with you, I don't see a difference in tone with these two films. What are you looking for? Subtleties? Is that what's missing from this thing? Because, I mean, the only thing that's different about this is it sort of expands the team, I guess, a little bit. Like, it's the Avengers of serial killers. But yeah. Other than that, what's different?
Maybe that's the issue he's saying. I don't know. I didn't see the first one, but the fact... if it's supposed to simulate a snuff film, I'm taken out of the at no time do I actually feel like I'm watching a snuff film, because I'm right. Like, there's no way this many people are doing this together this way
and not getting caught,
and not fucking up, getting caught, killing each other, etc., etc.
Well, because they're morons. These people are fucking morons. They're I mean, right. You know, the people that they're portraying in this film are, yeah, fucking retards. And
so that's, you know what, I think he's actually on to something, dude, in that regard.
Who is,
if it's gonna, Matt, if it's gonna be a smut film, I need to like feel like I need to have that feeling like I'm watching something I'm not supposed to, and you're immediately taken out of that by the sheer fact that it's just too fucking unrealistic. Like, Pig is more believable than this, even though it doesn't go as far with some of its ideas. Like, in this one, sure, you got a fucking guy raping a young female corpse in a tub, and that's more depraved than anything in Pig. But I don't fucking believe any of it because it's too fucking ridiculous. Yeah. You know?
Well, and also I will say this. I think that, you know, in at least the first one.
If you haven't seen the movie, by the way, that's in the movie. That's not me being a fucked up individual.
That's in the fucking movie.
What did you think of it, Rhett? Like, as somebody who is completely unfamiliar with August Underground at all.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, you cut out on my end over there for a second.
As somebody who's completely unfamiliar with August Underground, what did you think?
What I thought of it was, well, fuck, man, it's not my thing, okay? It's not my thing. And that's not the fucking, that's, I'll say first and foremost, I don't think the point of a simulated snuff film is to be liked. It's supposed to provoke, it's supposed to disgust, it's supposed to get people to have strong reactions to it. And if this is a thing, not just a film, but anytime I come across something like this, I have to consider the artistic intention of it. And the intention is, if those are the intentions, okay. Like, they did that. It's a hollow thing for me. It doesn't have to be any, it's like, why does it have to be substantial? Why does it have to be meaningful? Why does it, it doesn't. And it's not. It's hard for me to watch. It's hard for me to get through. What I did though, afterwards, I will say that kind of helped was I went on YouTube and they had a making of documentary. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. Yeah. There was a making of documentary where it showed the behind the scenes, and the documentary was really fucking poorly edited, by the way. Like, it was like, I mentioned that because if you watch it, if anyone looks it up, you could just look up the, you know, the keywords for it on YouTube. Like, it's really grating, you know, but it was good to see the community there of these people making this movie. And it kind of like made me dislike the movie a little less because I saw that they were, they're not, I shouldn't say regular people because they're not, but it just gave me this behind the
juggalos.
Yeah. It gave me this behind the scenes thing of these people being actual people and why, and what they were trying to get at a little bit. But even in the documentary, these are people that are like spitting in each other's mouths. You know what I mean? So it's like,
see, so that right there is exactly why I reached out this morning. Cause I was like, I need to know how he got these people to do this and how he got them to commit to this. Cause you know, when we saw Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, you could tell that wasn't like, oh, we're acting. That was, somebody taking advantage of somebody else.
Right.
This, like, okay, people were puking and people were getting like actual responses from the puking, but it didn't feel forced, you know? So I was thinking like, maybe this is some kind of crazy sex thing. Like maybe they're actually getting off on this and it's like Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, but it's less doing it to someone and more doing it with someone, if that makes sense.
I think that it does make sense. And I think that's more likely. Like, yeah, doing it. They're doing it together.
Yeah, I mean, and I got to wonder. I mean, I ultimately...
that scene was long.
Ultimately, like this, there are things happening here and also behind the scenes that we're not privy to. And I don't think that we'll ever fucking understand what the mentality behind this was. So... No, I know, and I'm being like 100% serious here. Like I you know, you and I have done, Rhett, we've done our own little series of little goofy movies and whatnot. But
oh sure,
you did a goofy movie, dude.
But
dude,
the idea that you would come together as like a friend group and this is the thing that you come up with at the end of that tunnel, I think is, you know, I think it speaks volumes of that friendship.
Oh yeah. Well, thing is like predicated on a couple who, so, okay, you got the main Fred Vogel, who's like the main just killer, his girlfriend, who's also a killer, and her
fucking her brother,
her retarded, like, man, weird ass brother. Yeah. Like a fucking caveman. And they all just hang out together.
He's the one with the long hair, right?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
That's the retarded brother.
Okay.
Her retarded brother, Bilo.
That one. Bilo.
Oh, but sure. He gets.
he got that. One day, he get this. Yeah, exactly.
Wait,
that's a good movie.
Actually her brother in the movie?
Yeah, yeah. In the movie, that's actually her brother.
Yeah.
So she's actually fucking her brother, and they actually get turned on by, like, cutting each other. I will say I did get a little nervous, like, when she had the knife to her arm. Until I realized like how dull it was and it wasn't actually doing shit. And she's like, sometimes I prefer dull ones.
Yeah, no shit.
Dude, did I ever tell you the story about when I cut my brother's arm open?
Yeah, you did. It's disgusting. Yeah,
that shit's gnarly.
Yeah, well, that's gnarly. That scene in particular when she's talking about like, oh, you know, I've just cut myself so many times. It's like a callus. I go, no, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works, baby girl.
You either got super tough skin or a super shitty knife.
Well, and that's, yeah. When you bring up what they're saying in this movie, I have to... It's just like white trash, like histrionics, like stuff, you know? But it's like... But like, they're trying to say like the most depraved, insane shit. Like, you know, and it's like, the guy's like, I'm going to cut you up into so many fucking pieces. And he's like, I'm in a good mood though, so I'm gonna kill you first before I fuck you and cut you up and all that shit. And it's just like, that's the stuff that's in this movie. You
know, but then it's just to juxtaposition with like the girl laying on the bed and him going, doesn't she look so smart? And she goes, that's because I'm a librarian. Now fuck me. And then it cuts to a scene of him singing with his fucking urethra.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of actual dick in this movie, and I'm like, damn.
That is one thing that I
noticed between this one and the first August Underground film is that they try to like humanize these people a little bit, but you know that whole scene where the retarded brother is like cutting his own hair. And then, you know, the sister comes in and helps him with it and all that. And he kind of like sees his hair on the ground and realizes that it's a representation of the crimes they've committed and all this. And I go, what are they doing here? Why is this scene in this movie? What the fuck?
Hey, it's crazy. Sometimes you got to have heart. That's why.
I guess. Sometimes
you got to stop living up here and start living down here.
In the D.
Yeah, man. And this shit is, I mean, this shit is, this is not for normal film viewers. Like this is anti-normie. And I hate using that word, but this is like, if you enjoy films, this is not it. This shit ain't it, fam.
Well, yeah. That's like I say, it doesn't matter if I like it or not. That's really not the fucking point. You know, it's not as a curiosity of watching films. Like I've watched Pig in this year now. we really ramped it up, I guess. But it does get me curious just as a, well, like I say, it got me curious to look up other lists of other movies. And one that came up on several lists was that one Earthlings I mentioned earlier. And, yeah, I much prefer something like that because it has a meaning behind it. It made me feel much worse than this because this is obviously not real. This is not real. You know what I mean?
It made me feel things in my feelings.
It really fucking did, though. Like, utter disgust with myself as a member of the species. Like, this didn't do that. This was just like...
See, the first one might have. Like, the thing is, this one... Like I was saying, it didn't feel as authentic. And I mean, fuck, what? How can I? I don't understand how I can put this. The second one keeps popping up on all of these lists of like, oh, the most fucked up movie you'll ever see. And it's always the second one specifically. But the second one feels more like a staged production than it does just finding something wrong.
Well, yeah, dude, because they go full theatrics, right? I mean, they cut open this girl's belly, and then, you know, the retard brother fucks the intestines, and I don't want to say it goes there, but there are things that are in this thing. This movie, this film, whatever you want to call it, where they're really like, well, you know, what can we do? Can we have sex with a dead corpse's intestines? Yes, we can. Can we have sex with a child in a bathtub who's dead? Yep, we can do that. Yep. Let's go there. And I wonder at some point what are you doing this for? Like, that's the thing,
George.
There is no why, right?
There is no why. It's just empty. Can we do this? Yes, you can. That's it.
Like, they're like the Bob the Builder of snuff films.
Dude, it's, again, like, this is a band. This is Pig Squeals and Blast Beats, and that's it. And then intermittently, they'll have some fucking, like, trashy fucking kind of noisier, slower part, and it's just to go back into the blast beats. It's a one trick pony. It's not
meant to seen the kind of music they like.
It's not meant to have range.
Like, you know what? You know what I think about the people that made this film, and maybe the characters in the film. You know that YouTube video? It's not a YouTube video, but like, can you quack?
Maybe. Yeah,
I feel like the people that are watching Can You Quack are the ones that made this fucking movie.
We watched Can You Quack.
No. I mean that are in the audience of that show.
Oh, gotcha. I wouldn't be surprised to see the people in this film at that show.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, that's same kind of vibe that, you know, they don't care how fucking gross they are, you know. That's sort of the bit. That's what they
get off on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets me hard. Curious. Well, no. It gets
God me curious damn. About,
it gets me fucking this because it led to Earthlings. And now it gets me curious about, I had texted you about it a couple weeks ago, Matt, The Men Behind the Sun. It's about the it's from the 80s. They're recreating like the torture and experimentation.
The
Japanese did in World War II. I'm curious to watch this movie. I'm curious to watch these other movies because I, you know, for several reasons, but chief among them that they have such fucking infamous reputations.
Rabbit hole, dude. It's a total rabbit hole.
Well, so yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I'm not going in it to like it, and I know that may sound weird to people. This isn't a movie that you're watching like you. Someone out there is just going to be a pump, like they're going to be a contrarian and be like, oh, I do like it, you know? And it's like, yeah, you like it because it's so fucking over the top. It doesn't mean, it's not like you actually You know what I mean? Like, if you actually like this, like, if you're actually like, oh, I love this part when they do that, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like,
I love... Wait. Shh. This is my favorite line of dialogue. Oh, fuck yeah, bitch. Fuck that dick.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, convince yourself that you actually like this. Like, you don't have to do that. You can say that you appreciate how far it goes, or that even you respect... that it's gore. You respect its willingness to go there as fucking experimental exploitation cinema or whatever the fuck you want to call this. But like, oh, I like that. Yeah, exactly. It's not like, oh, my favorite scene right here where he fucks the corpse in the bathtub. Like, dude, if you actually like that, then you should be doing that shit and then be locked up. So
like, you don't actually... just talk about it. Be about it, little bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, start you don't no actually.
Shit, it wouldn't be yeah. no shit.
Yeah, you don't actually like that. I hope you don't. Yeah, I'll go ahead and say that. I don't mean to be virtue signaling, but that's not what this is. Like, what at this point? Like, no, you don't like fucking corpses in a bathtub. If you do, I don't mean to judge you, but you probably should be separated from the rest of society.
I mean, what's wild about this shit is that it's not easily accessible on the internet, but you can get it, and it's mm-hmm. you know. It's kind of wild that a thing like this exists in our, you know, our fucking world, that you can just watch this movie and it's a thing that happens.
I agree in that point, and I don't want to sound contradictory because of what I just said, but regardless of what I just said, I'm glad it exists in the sense of, how am I glad? I don't even like saying that, but I'm glad that people have the freedom to express themselves this way. If the shit's not real, it's not real, period, you know? So I don't want to go about like saying, oh, this shouldn't be allowed and this and that. It's dumb that it was fucking made to me, but
see, I wish you would have got a chance to see the first one, because like, yeah. you know, George hated it. And I mean, I actually really liked that movie, because watching that one made me feel kind of fucking dirty. And to me, that's kind of what I want from horror. I want it to feel real. I want it to feel dirty. Like, I want it to feel like I'm somehow not the same afterwards.
Sure.
I felt that with the first August Underground. And I think I may have called it like one of the most important films in horror cinema because of what it did and what it is. This one was just kind of inoffensive.
I was just gonna say the same almost exact thing, and I don't know if that's an affect of us being desensitized to this sort of thing, but
I think it might be some of it. Yeah,
but I ended this movie, this film, this thing, whatever you want to call it, and really had to take a double take on myself, because I was like, well, I mean, that was what it was, and almost was disappointed in myself by not being grossed out by it and not being sort of like, oh, I'm disgusted to no end by this bullshit.
You have that like, oh, does this movie suck because I'm a shitty person, or does this movie just suck?
Yeah. And so I have trouble with it, because I don't know if because my you know, my gore clit has been rubbed so raw that this shit doesn't affect me anymore, or if it's just really dumb and nobody should be watching it. Like,
you know, it could be a little bit of both. Those aren't mutually exclusive, I don't think. I think your gore clit, as you call it, has been rubbed pretty raw. I also think it's pretty fucking dumb. And the most disgusting parts to me were the vomiting, because the vomiting is vomiting. That's just like... That's I think that's real vomiting, you know. Okay. The other stuff I have this barrier where I'm like, yeah, this is not real and it's ridiculous.
So we'll let you be the judge, but like, you're talking about whether or not it's like your horror clit has gotten rubbed raw. The scene where the retarded caveman brother is fucking that girl's intestines.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He actually pulled his dick out and was like thrusting into her stomach. And so I asked Fred this morning, I'm like, hey, how many takes did it take you to do that? And he goes, just one and done. So is it worse that like they were totally serious about it and did it completely, or the fact that I figured they would have laughed 100 times because this guy's just thrusting his limp boner into this girl's stomach.
You can definitely tell that he's trying to cover the fact that he doesn't have a fucking boner while he's here. You know, it's not a thing that he's getting off on this scene. But yeah, that's weird that they were like, yeah, fuck it, it's done, whatever.
Wait a minute. I figured
Matt,
one
you
of
actually
the
talked to the dude, Fred Vogel.
Yeah, I talked to him this morning. I messaged him on
You did the
Facebook.
Same thing last time, right?
With August Underground?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, I think
I don't
you
know,
did.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I might have. Because like I said, so that vomit scene, I was watching that and I'm like, I have to know how he did this. Like, is this a sex thing? Like, I know he couldn't have paid these people a bunch of money. And his response was that those people wanted to do it and they came to him because they were such big fans of his first movie and were like, yeah, we're down for whatever. And sometimes they would ramp up the intensity if they weren't getting the reaction that they wanted. So it's kind of like a McCamey Manor kind of thing, I guess.
They just rolled up to his house and they were like, whoop, whoop, fam.
Yep. Dude, so on the note of the vomit scene, I wanted to ask you guys. So, you know, we go like a lot on the show. What is the thing that's happened that made you like retch the hardest? Maybe not like puke, but just something that happened where you were just like completely retching.
In real life?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's going to sound pretty silly to you, but it's 2 girls, 1 cup.
Like, really?
Dude,
I watched fucking that hundreds of times.
I bet you did. I bet you did. I don't mean that, but look, man, as usual with this stuff, like I was late to the party on that. I got shown it like maybe 4 years ago. And I got showed the very long, long version, like the very, and people wanted to turn it off, but I was like, no, I'm going to do this. But it made me retch like dozens of times, dozens and dozens of, like, it was just like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, that thing where it's like, am I enjoying like this gag reflux thing at this point? That's kind of what that video said.
It became so sexual and you're like, well, oh, I get it.
Which is part of the point. Right. So yeah, that kind of shit for me.
What did we watch recently, Matt?
It's like yawning. You hear people yawn and you start yawning. When I see people retching, I kind of start retch, you know?
What was
like,
the last thing we watched, Matt, that had people eating vomit? What? Something recently. The last
the
like
fly.
Two or three movies. Was
the
it,
Fly.
No, it wasn't The Fly. They were actively eating vomit like off of a plate. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, like they picked it up with their hand and they like fed it to him or they ate it.
Yeah.
Well, we also had The Boxer's Omen.
That's what it was. That's what
some,
it was.
Yeah, there's some gross shit in there. Dude,
that
honestly,
stuff
yeah.
in The Boxer's Omen actually like elicited a a visceral response. This,
for me too, yeah.
This August Underground stuff is so beyond the pale of like extremism that I'm like, okay, great, cool. Because there is no subtlety, it's all, you know, it's none of it is extreme to me. I think that's where I'm at with this shit.
Well, because right out of the gate, you get right, it desensitizes you immediately. I get you, so you're just empty. It's just empty and ugly.
If it's all 11, then none of it is effective. You know what I mean? That's right. Kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. It might as well be watching static.
But see, the thing is, it's all 11 when it was meant to be a music video, but it's all 11 that was dragged out for 70 unnecessary minutes. So a lot of it is just nothing. Like that scene in the basement, that vomit scene is just fucking long, like, and drags forever. Then when the fat girl starts crying, at least it gets funny, but you know, that's a whole nother thing.
When you mentioned earlier, George, that like the fact that this thing even, you know, that it exists, that it's a trip that it exists in our world and whatnot, but I'm reading here, it's from Wikipedia, so it's not much of a deep dive, but the controversy surrounding this. Matt, have you heard anything about the controversy this had?
What about Fred getting arrested?
Yeah. So while traveling to Canada to attend the Rue Morgue Festival of Fear in Toronto, so Fred Vogel was arrested pending charges of transporting obscene materials into Canada when copies of the film and its predecessor were found by customs officials among the merchandise he wanted to bring to the festival. So the charges were dropped, but he had spent about 10 hours in customs prison, and his films were sent to Ottawa Canada for further observation.
Jeez.
Yeah, so that means some poor motherfucker had to sit and watch like the three August Underground movies.
So yeah, it did get attention of authorities. They're like, they're like
3 years.
Yeah, they're like, okay, first we need to determine what the fuck, and then, oh, well, don't worry, it's fake. It's like, okay, it's fake, but still, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
I was reading a couple threads on Reddit, and people seem to have the same sort of feel about these films, is that the first one, they definitely felt like they were watching maybe a snuff film before they realized they were watching a fictional movie. And I think you're right, Matt. I think the first one does have a more, I don't know, authentic, if that's the word I would give.
Believable. It feels more believable because maybe it's not several individuals doing it.
But they've gone full intestine fucking on this one. Like, you know, a turtle head for my turtle. That sort of.
Oh, that shit was good, though. That shit's that's gravy compared to this stuff.
No, you know what I mean, Matt. Like
more sauce for the goose.
Sauce for the goose.
When we're watching, what was that fucking movie called?
American Holocaust.
When we're watching American Holocaust, it's very clear that it's like they're goofing.
Taking the piss.
When we're watching fucking August Underground Mortem, I feel like we're supposed to think that they're taking the piss, but like, I kind of think these people are just fucked up and I don't know, man. I don't like, maybe they're just, that's just how they roll.
Yeah. There's another incident here apparently where the film was confiscated by Australian custom officials in 2004. The reason for the seizure of the DVDs being that, quote, they offend against the standards of morality, decency, and propriety generally accepted by reasonable adults to the extent that they should not be imported into the country. So they did. Australian government said, no, we don't. We're going to confiscate these DVDs and we don't want them imported into the fucking country. So they did it like it was a fucking like narcotic. Like they're like, no, you can't import this, you know. That's pretty crazy.
They're like, no, we're good.
We're straight.
It's like we said with Pig, like that's infamy right there. People are gonna want to check it out just for those reasons, and that's enough for them.
Well, that's what I mean. If you're making this kind of thing, that has to be the seal of approval you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. That's the validation of this kind of thing being quote unquote successful when an entire country's government is not allowing it in the country. Like you said, that's infamy. And what better fucking, what's the bigger, it has to be the motivation for this to be as infamous as possible, you know, with how fucked up the reputation for your movie is. And that's, if that's what they're going for, that's what I mean. But like Matt's saying, I haven't seen the first one. So, but this didn't seem believable.
Yeah, the rape felt more like a porn, and I just wasn't into it. I mean, seriously, like, so the rape,
that's such a fucking hilarious sentence. Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ, Matt! God damn, dude.
That's a fucking hilarious sentence, but no, everything.
Let me explain. Let me explain.
Let me okay. context so, this bitch.
So yeah. Like the part like I said, the first movie made me feel really dirty. So like seeing the rape take place in the first movie, it's like, oh, you know, I could believe that this is actually happening. But when I was watching this one, I had like when they first pulled that naked girl out of the box, I had the thought like, oh, he might actually be having sex with her. But I didn't feel like I was watching a rape. I just felt like I was watching somebody's boring sex tape. You know what I mean? So like it did nothing for me.
Hmm.
Yeah. I got it better
because,
the second time.
Because rape would normally do it for you.
Struggle fucking.
Yeah, man.
I'm not saying that at all.
He's basically, like, hey, look, don't. If you talk shit about Matt, you're talking shit about all of Japan right now. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's something. Yeah. If you enjoyed Pig, or if you're curious about these kind of films, I mean, this is,
But even
this, dude, you, this even, is a box to you got to check this box.
Even that's the thing. Pig is like Disneyland and, compared to this shit, dude. Like, you know, in terms of content and enjoyability, like I would, you know, Pig is almost a cinematic masterpiece by comparison.
I can't believe we went this far, much farther down than Pig. It's just fucking crazy. Fucking crazy. Dude, like, well, this is like. Yeah,
what you don't understand, what you don't understand is this is what I wanted to do from the beginning. Is
I do understand. No, I do. I know.
That's so this is just the ones that are like, you know, palatable.
Well, you hear me, man. I'm not pissed. Like, I mean, I'm trying to give it again. What if it's about intention? What's their intention? Not like, do I like their intention? That's fucking irrelevant. Like, that's really not the point. Is it successful? If the thing is meant to repulse you, if it's meant to, like, okay, yeah.
See, and that's what this one is meant to do, and it did not.
Yeah. It did it, but it didn't do it as authentically as well, I haven't seen the first one, but, like, Pig seems a little more plausible to me, like, you know? Like, and so that makes it scarier. In a sense to me, because it's the dude out in the middle of fucking nowhere with these people, you know? But yeah, like when you mention everything's up to 11, Jorge, like how they talk to, I mean, there's a lot of screaming in this movie.
Wait, what? So now?
There's a lot of screaming in this movie. There's a lot of fucking.
A whole heck of a lot of screaming.
I admire that they're that committed to their role, right? That they're, but it's again, it's monotone. Like it's all screamy. It's like there's intensity, but that's I don't know its intensity after a while because there's nothing to compare it to. It's just fucking 11, like you said. So, and there's not much. It's not commitment there. It's just they're working themselves up into a frenzy on camera, like
getting worked into a shoot, brother.
Huh?
Getting worked into a shoot, brother.
It's all coming into a sock and no fuck is basically this movie.
Well, dude, I think there's probably I don't know that analogy applies.
Like, it's all coming into a trash can and no fuck. There.
It's all coming back.
It's fucking in a trash can and not coming. There you go.
Dude, it's fucking with a limp dick in someone's intestines and not coming.
Hell yeah.
That's exactly what it does. Like
fucking intestines with a limp dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the centerpiece of this film.
Handle.
We call that pushing rope.
That is like, if this was on Rotten Tomatoes, that would be the soundbite. Like the film is like fucking someone's intestines with a limp dick.
You know, they should just put that on the box cover.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's that. So
there you go.
And there you go. Hey, so.
King Sam, this was King Sam's pick, right?
Yep. All hail King Sam.
All hail King Samuel.
King Sam.
So is he a big obviously I don't know him. I've never met him. I've never talked to him really, but is he a big fan of these films and stuff like this?
He does enjoy these movies. He also likes to just step down from his throne every now and again and cause chaos amongst you know, his underlings.
That is true. So he does like to fuck with us every once in a while, yeah. Which I appreciate.
Well, and that I appreciate very much. I do.
You know, he gets to pick a movie every month and he's like, do what makes you guys happy. And then he's like, you know what? I'm tired of you being happy. Yeah. August Underground Morning.
It's like, he's like fucking in Mystery Science Theater, the scientists make him watch these fucking movies.
Yeah, he's just going through his reign, just chopping our heads off.
That's right. Speaking of which, someone had wanted us to watch Speed on a special Patreon.
It's happening, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can discuss that off air, so to speak. But we are going to do that.
Yes, that's happening. No, that is a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
We will be doing an episode on Speed for Patreon.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Then, well, that's episode 207 for the Who Goes There podcast. I mean, I would say don't watch anything that deals with August Underground, but
would it be enjoyable drunk?
No,
I think you'd be bored.
Yeah, I'd be bored.
And then it might just make you want to watch actual porn instead, you know? Like, let me just, like, you know what? Fuck this. I want to watch some real porn. Like, you know?
I just want to go, like, you know what, dude? I just want to go out and kill somebody. That's where I'm at.
I don't think it'll do that. Yeah, I don't think it, yeah. That's where I'm at, yeah. No, it doesn't, I don't think it'd be likely to provoke that response.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes Your Podcast signing out for 257. This is Jorge signing the fuck out.
Matt?
Oh, I thought we were signing the fuck out. This is Worldwide Handsome Matt. Go to patreon.com/whogoesourpodcast. It's hella tight.
This is the rhythm of the night. This is Rhett. I'm signing out.
This is the rhythm of the night. Yeah.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I hate your fucking guts. Bye. Okay, stop recording now.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, never get out of this world alive.